Good morning. Good evening in the Philippines, too. I just found out last night I was going to speak, so I brought my big print Bible. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this great gathering of saints. And we ask that you bless, anoint our ears, our hearts. And let's bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just, before convention, taken a trip with John Odahara. We were in the Philippines for a couple weeks. And then we were in Kunming, China. Wow. There's a hidden treasure over there. We had such an amazing time in word and fellowship. And what a great treasure it is to be able to visit and know these people, these friends that you didn't know, and family that you didn't know you had. So that's great. And the church in the Philippines, in Dumaguete, is doing well. The Philippines, all you English speakers, the Philippines is the third largest English-speaking population in the world. It's bigger than England, the population of the Philippines. It's bigger than England, yes it is. I actually met the church. I was very confusing to folks in Stephen's School of the Bible in Lenox, because I was one of the first Asians to come along, and supposedly. I was very confusing because I met the church in England, but I was an American. And, I don't look American. So, everybody's going, what are you? Oh, Lord. It's a joy and rejoicing. Let's turn to the Word of God. My wife found out I was speaking this morning. She goes, can you come up with a skinny pants thing? And only Pastor Don Barnes can do the skinny pants. Yeah. You know what I love about him is he's very relaxed in himself, very relaxed in God, as with many of you. And that's a very important aspect, or actually basically what the word means, to rejoice, isn't it? To just, hey, relax. Okay? Everybody, relax over there. Jeremiah 15. Thinking of a few things here, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 15. Let me just read that. I'm going to take my glasses off. Well, actually, in verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And here's Jeremiah, not such a great ministry setting. It wasn't a lot of outward circumstances calling for joy and rejoicing. But he had found something. And I think this is this amazing thing about, this is what I love about, and I really love about our ministry, is that it's Word of God, isn't it? It's not our experiences. It's not our circumstances. We have been taught that the foundations of our joy, the foundations of our thinking, the foundation of our life is the Word of God. And this is what we've found as individuals and as a group throughout the years, that we have found the Word of God, and that it's something that, and I love the word, that the connotation of the word, that I did eat. He devoured the word. There was such a famine of the word, and when he found the Word of God, he was devouring it, and it was a joy and a rejoicing to his heart. And this is what we found in our ministry, right? That when we heard the Word of God being spoken, and being explained to us and making it very specific and making it very real, that we're like, wow, this is a joy and a rejoicing to my heart. And it has nothing to do with my outward circumstances, has nothing to do with what we bring to the table. We bring practically nothing. But it's everything to do with God and God's word. And it causes a revival in us personally and in us corporately. And you know what? Included with the word of God in that we are living epistles is that we are devouring body life. This is what I love about the ministry, that we have this amazing, amazing body life that we have. That we are, you know, we're not in contest, in a contest with one another. We're not comparing ourselves with ourselves. There's no, it's not perfect. We're not perfect, but we have this foundation of our fellowship of the Word of God, foundation of our fellowship of the promises of God, and that this is unchanging and immovable, and it's been once said. Some time ago, that it doesn't get any better than this. But you know what? After year after year after year after year, it's getting better, right? Year after year after year after year, the vision gets better. Year after year after year after year, the fellowship is better. Because we're growing in grace, we're growing in God, we're growing in His promises, and we're growing with God, not just as an individual, but we're growing together as a body of believers. This is tremendous. It's an amazing place, an amazing thing of what we have here. And, you know, it's so edifying to be with the church in Kunming. I've never been in China before, but just the hunger for the Word, the hunger for the fellowship. It edifies me, as edifying me as we're, you know, sharing the word of God, and it's edifying them. And it was just, just so blessed by it. And just so reminded of, you know, Psalm 130. We're all going after the same thing. We're all going after God. And we're simply living in, you know, in this simplicity that, you know, Enoch walked with God. It's just Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. It doesn't explain the, you know, all the intricacies. It doesn't tell us what Enoch did or if he did anything amazing. But just Enoch walked with God. And God loved it so much that he took him. You know? And this is my desire as best as I can and are here, that we just walk with God in all simplicity. Walking with God in his word. Walking with God in his promises. Walking with God in God's people. People? Oh, I'm half awake. And to have that mindset, just to think of, here's Joseph. Right? And it goes from, okay, I finally am not, no longer a slave. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, in a slave sense, but now I'm in a house, you know, and I have it pretty good, even though I am a slave, but I have it pretty good. Now it goes to worst. You know, I'm in a jail. But yet, at the outcome of the story and what I love about, you know, the mindset that we have or that's shown here is that Joseph says to his brothers, when he has opportunity to exact revenge, we had opportunity to dole out condemnation and bring on guilt. He says, "You meant it for evil." He had to say it twice to them. You meant it for evil, but God had meant it for good. You know, it wasn't the situation. It wasn't the circumstances. It's not what's happened to me or what you caused to happen to me, but God meant it. And there's a joy and a rejoicing. I'm so glad that God had meant it for good, no matter what. And this is what we've been shown and we've been taught in our ministry here, that, you know, There's been times as a missionary in Africa and in the Philippines, there are days where you're like going, what am I doing here? You know, what did I just get myself into? You know, Pastor Shabelli has a unique effect in my life in a couple ways. You know, hey, come to South Africa. We're gonna have this amazing team. We're gonna go do things in South Africa. So he said, hey, we're gonna go join Pastor Shabelli in South Africa. You know, a couple of weeks after being there, he goes, okay, Pastor Manny, I'm leaving. See ya. God bless you. I love ya. First time we ever met was 1984. He came and visited in India. And it was a funny thing. We were invited to an orphanage. And the orphanage, I don't know why the orphanage was, I don't know where a pastor, I don't know if you know, but this orphanage was in somewhere in Bandra or something. But I had to go down in order to enter into the orphanage. He comes in after me. Anyway, I don't know. Hop Mira Raja. He always tells me, Pastor Manny, sing Hop Mira Raja. It's an Indian song. But then, after we had returned returned from South Africa, after 10 years of being in South Africa, that was fun. We're considering another mission field. And as we were preparing for this other mission field, I'm getting these phone calls and these messages. Pastor Manny, the Philippines. Pastor Manny, the Philippines. And I just love, you know, because of the Word of God and the foundation that we have and the assurance that we have and the liberty that we have in Christ, you know, we can have such liberty and freedom with one another in truth. And in grace and in love and liberty and freedom to really try great things for God or with God and have God do great things in our lives. You know, and it's like, okay, let me go try the Philippines, you know. And it was an amazing decision and an amazing move. We have a great body over there and some great people. But you know, this is the call that the last part of this verse I love. He says that there was a joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name. You know, our calling is precious. Our calling is personal. Our calling is by the very nature and character, is by who God is. We've been called unto God. And I love it that God is very personal with us. It's not about things that we must do or that we have to perform, but we've been called unto Him, to Himself. We've been called to have fellowship with Him. And to draw near and to draw unto His strength and to rely on Him. God loves it. He's always calls us to Himself. No matter in a family situation, in our marriage, at our jobs, when it comes to our finances, God keeps calling us to Himself. And that we get to know Him and that we can what? Have rest. We've been called to rest and relax and rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, even in situations where we, in Psalm 23, it says that, I think, in Psalm 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's the promise of God. And this is our fellowship, and this is our call. And this is the source of our joy and rejoicing. God, the very presence of God, and God, His power, His presence, His provision, and His plan, and His purpose that we've been called unto. And what an amazing privilege it is to be in fellowship with God, but not only in fellowship with God, but in fellowship with people like you, the men and women of God. You know, Joyce, yeah, Joyce Morley was one of the first people I met in 1980, you know, in a Bible study on the RAF Bentwaters. They came to, I was in the U.S. Air Force, and they came to the base that I was stationed in England, and I met her and many others that were of the Bible Speaks in Colchester. But it was the joy and rejoicing that drew me, you know, the joy and rejoicing that they had in the Word of God. It was the Word of God and the joy and rejoicing in their hearts for the Word. That it was a lasting joy. It was eternal joy and a quality of joy that I was drawn into as a young man. And so what is it that we've been called to the Word of God? And it's the Word of God that builds us up in our lives and the details of life. It's the Word of God that is a light unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's the Word of God, and it's eternal. That heaven and earth will pass, you know, but it's the Word of God. And this is our joy and rejoicing. And we are here this morning on a Saturday morning in June devouring the Word of God, eating the Word, and it's a joy and rejoicing to our hearts. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your examples and for your life. And amen.
Okay, I've got the iPad out. Do we have a map coming up? Please. There we are. So here, this says Asia on it, but actually we can't contain all of Asia here. Well, actually, it does a pretty good job. But we were just here in the Philippines, Pastor Manny and the beautiful people there. Our next speaker comes from the second most populous nation in the world, India right here. And if you have one of those prayer bulletins for the month of July, Asia is featured as the continent to pray for in the month of July. And you can see all the different nations there and all the different needs there. And you can see the picture of Pastor Carl and some of the pastors from India on the front cover. If you didn't get one, find one. Find one, because we need prayer. And we want all of you praying for us. But our second speaker this morning is our song leader this morning, Pastor Anil. And he served in Goa with his wife and his family for about, I think he said, 13 years. And now he is in Bangalore, India, where he's been serving for the last 6 years. And he's a regular at our convention, and we're just looking forward to hearing from him this morning. So come right up, Pastor Anil.
Good morning again. Yes, we are the second largest, but we're going to beat China soon. So I got good news for you, Pastor Plunkett. We're going to beat you soon, right? So I'm from India. We could say, though India is not a continent, we could say it's like a continent by itself. And we have two churches there, the Bombay Church with Pastor Carl and the Bangalore Church with Pastor Brian. And out of these two churches, God has done great work and the labor of these two men of God over many years and your prayers, God has done great work in our country. And I'm really thankful for that, and I'm really thankful to be here. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, our theme. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And I was just thinking about this verse, you know. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. One of the things, when we go through difficulties in life and trials in life, we relate to God based upon our experience or our feelings. And many times in life, we try to make the love of God as if it's a feeling. Okay, today God loves me and tomorrow He doesn't love me. Or if things are going right, He loves me, and things are going wrong, He doesn't love me. But when you come to the Bible, the love of God is not a feeling. It's a fact. Right? Yes, there was an expression in His heart. He loved us in His mind. But it's a fact. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, Jesus, and He died on the cross for us, and He took all our sins on Himself. And He paid for it all. And He gave us this beautiful gift, which we can conclude from the Bible is really the greatest gift anyone can receive on earth. It's the gift of salvation. Right? And that gift has been given to us forever. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. And no matter what we face on earth, that fact can never change. And therefore, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, we can rejoice. When you come to verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because we have this relationship, because we have this, we are in the family of God. God gives us a privilege, and that privilege is prayer. And God desires that we would not be anxious for anything. As we are going back home, we are not going to be anxious for anything, right? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen 6 months from now? We are not anxious. But through prayer and supplications and thanksgiving, we make our requests known to God. And when we do that, the Bible promises us the peace of God keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's so beautiful, right? Prayer gives us the peace of God experientially in our lives. And then when you come to verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, things are just, things are pure, things are lovely, things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Once we hand over the worry to God, then God tells us to fill our minds with the Word. Fill our minds with what is right, what is just. It's the Word of God, as we heard what Pastor Manny said. I come from a land where meditation is very popular. And in our country, Hindu meditation, they say, empty your mind. But Christian meditation is different. God says, fill your mind. But fill your mind with the right things, right? So the battle is in the mind, right? And we need to fill our minds with the right things, and we need to constantly think about the right things. And then it says in verse 9, Paul is saying, that which you saw in me as an example, these do, or these practice. And that brings us to this aspect of that we hear the word, but we also obey it. Now this is an important point. That it is possible for us to hear a lot of the Word of God and in our churches and in our ministries. But it is possible that we may not obey it. It's just simple obedience. And when we obey it, God says, the God of peace will be with you. The practice and the obedience to the Word of God assures us of the presence of God. Isn't that beautiful? We can have the presence of God in any situation when we just simply obey His word. Right? And in closing today, what God asks from us is very small compared to what He has done for us on the cross. It's very small. Right? And all these things, rejoice in the Lord, be anxious for nothing, all these things are written in the present imperative. God is commanding us to constantly, He's commanding us to constantly rejoice, to constantly pray, constantly meditate, and constantly obey. But finally, it's our choice. It's our choice. I can't choose for you. It took me many years as a pastor to understand that I can't change anybody. And you can't choose for me. Each one has to choose for themselves, right? But we make those choices. We not only have the assurance that we are going to heaven, but we also have all these blessings experientially on a daily basis. The peace of God, the presence of God, the love of God in our lives. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah? So let's be encouraged today, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Amen.